Welcome to the Deep Dive, your way to quickly get up to speed on complex ideas. We dig through the research so you don't have to. Today, we've put together a custom exploration for the learner, someone who, like many of us, wants a solid understanding without getting totally overwhelmed.
That's right. And our focus today is a research paper from the Annals of Probability. It's titled Integration by Parts and the KPZ two-point function.
Okay, integration by parts, KPZ two-point function, sounds pretty technical, and it is, but the core ideas actually connect to things you might almost see around you.
Definitely. Think about the way turbulent liquid crystals shimmer, or how a bacterial colony spreads out, or even how water wets paper. These seemingly very different types of growth can, surprisingly, follow the same underlying statistical rules.
And that's the essence of what's called the Kardar-Parisi-Zhang Universality Class, or KPZ for short. The big idea, really, is finding these universal laws hidden in processes that look, well, kind of chaotic and distinct on the surface.
Exactly. And these KPZ systems share some key characteristics. They tend to smooth out interfaces over time. The speed of growth depends on the local slope or steepness. And there's this specific kind of randomness involved that's correlated in both space and time.
The kind of canonical model for this, the textbook example, if you like, is the KPZ equation itself.
And one of the really mind-bending discoveries is about scaling. If you look at these different growth models and rescale space and time in a very specific way using this 1.2.3 ratio, they often converge.
Converge.
Towards what?
Towards a single universal object. It's a kind of fluctuating field called the KPZ fixed point. Think of it as the ultimate large-scale pattern for this type of growth, regardless of the microscopic details.
But wait, does the starting shape matter at all?
It does. The initial condition, the shape you start with, determines which specific sort of flavor or geometry within this big universality class you actually end up in. So same general rules, but different specific manifestations.
Got it. So how do mathematicians actually study these things? They seem incredibly complex. Well, there's been huge progress over the last, say, 20 years by studying specific models that we can actually solve or at least analyze in great detail. These are often called stochastic integrable growth models.
Like what? Any examples?
Yeah, the classic ones are TACEP. That's the totally asymmetric simple exclusion process. Basically, particles hopping on a line, and PNG, the polynuclear growth model.
And what's special about TACEP and PNG?
The amazing thing is that for these models, we can often get incredibly precise mathematical descriptions of how the interface evolves over time, often using things called Fredholm determinant formulas.
Fredholm determinants. Okay. Sounds complicated.
They are, but they give us exact probabilities for different configurations, which is incredibly powerful for understanding the underlying structure.
So let's get back to the core of this paper. The KPZ fixed point itself, you called it a fluctuating field.
Yes, mathematically it's described as a collection of upper semi-continuous generalized functions. It sounds abstract, I know.
A little bit, yeah.
But here's a key property. Even if you start with really jagged irregular initial data, the process smooths things out almost instantly. For any time greater than zero, the resulting profile looks locally like Brownian motion, that classic random walk.
Interesting. So it smooths things out, but retains some kind of universal randomness. Are there famous examples of this fixed point?
Absolutely. Three key ones are tied to specific starting shapes. If you start with a narrow wedge shape, you get something called the Airy 2 process.
Okay.
Start flat, like an infinitely wide flat surface, and you get the Airy 1 process.
Flat gives Airy 1.
And if you start with a random initial profile described by what's called two-sided Brownian motion, you get the Airystat process. So these are like the canonical examples within the KPZ fixed point landscape, depending on that initial geometry we mentioned.
And you said that Brownian motion start is important.
Very important. Starting with two-sided Brownian motion leads to what we call the stationary KPZ fixed point.
Stationary meaning it doesn't change over time.
Statistically speaking, yes. If you look at the height fluctuations relative to the overall linear growth, their statistical properties, like the variance, remain constant over time. It's reached a kind of equilibrium state.
Okay. Is there another way to think about this fixed point? It still feels a bit abstract.
There is, actually. A more recent and very powerful perspective is through something called the directed landscape.
Directed landscape? Like a map?
Sort of. Imagine a random continuous field that exists in four dimensions, two space, two time points, let's call it LZSXT. This field essentially defines a kind of random distance or cost to get from space-time point, ZS, yes, to XT.
A random metric in space-time. Whoa!
Exactly. And it has some amazing properties, like independent increments along disjoint paths and a composition law. And crucially, if you look at certain marginals or slices of this landscape, you recover things like the airy processes.
Ah, so it connects back.
It does. And you can actually define the KPZ fixed point, HTX, using this landscape. It's basically the maximum value you can get by adding the initial height, A0Z, to the landscape value, LZ0XT, maximized over all possible starting point Z.
So the height at time pen depends on finding the best starting point Z on the initial profile, considering the random cost from the landscape.
Precisely. It's a variational formula. Maximizing that sum gives you the height.
Okay, now the paper's title mentions integration by parts. Where does that come in?
Right. So the researchers were interested in the spatial derivative of the KPZ fixed point, written as H equals T. This object is itself interesting and related to something called the stochastic Burgers fixed point.
The slope of the height profile.
Essentially, yes. How the height changes as you move horizontally. To study this, they use tools from Malyavin calculus.
Malyavin calculus. Can you give us the quick version?
The quick version. Think of it as a calculus for random variables. It lets you differentiate with respect to the underlying noise source, like the Brownian motion driving the system. It's a way to quantify how sensitive the outcome is to the infinitesimal random kicks it receives.
Okay, sensitivity to noise.
And a key tool in Malyavin calculus is an integration by parts formula. It's analogous to the usual integration by parts you learn in calculus, but it works in this probabilistic setting.
And what did they do with this formula?
This is the central part of the paper. They used it to establish a really deep connection. They related the two-point correlation function of this spatial derivative process.
Meaning how the slope at one point is related to the slope at another point.
Exactly. How SHU is correlated with SHHTV for different points U and V and times 0G.
Yeah.
They related this correlation to the location of the maximum in that variational formula we just discussed.
The location Z. The place Z that maximizes the sum.
That's the one. The integration by parts formula links the correlation of the slopes to the statistical properties of where that maximum Z occurs.
Wow. Okay. That's not obvious at all.
Not at all. And it gets better. Using this technique, they could also deduce the probability distribution of Z itself.
How?
It turns out the distribution of Z is directly linked to the second derivative of the variance of the KPZ fixed point height. HTX.
The second derivative of the variance.
Okay.
Okay. Let's unpack that maybe. What's this two-point function specifically?
They define it formally, let's call it C, as the cross-correlation between the differentials involving Eero is zero and Eero arrow E. Theorem 2.1 in the paper gives the precise statement.
And the gist of Theorem 2.1?
The gist is that if you take certain well-behaved functions, called test functions, and integrate them against the spatial derivative process at time zero and time t, the expectation, or average value, of their product is equal to the expectation of a related quantity involving those same test functions, but evaluated at a scaled version of that random location Z. It's a direct mathematical bridge between the correlations in the slope and the statistics of Z.
So correlations tell you about the maximum's location. What about the distribution of Z itself? You mentioned the variance connection.
Right. They define a key function, GoX, which is simply the variance of the KPZ, fixed point height, H1X, at position X, time T1 for simplicity here.
Well,
but it scales.
The variance, how spread out the height is at that point?
Exactly. Then, using integration by parts again, they derive Theorem 2.2. This shows that this variance function, GoX, is directly related to the cumulative distribution function of Z, FX. That's the probability that Z is less than or equal to X.
Hold on. So the variance of the height is related to the probability distribution of where that maximum Z occurs.
Precisely. And it implies that if Z has a smooth probability density function describing the likelihood of Z taking a specific value, then that density function is just related to the derivative of the variance function GoX.
That seems remarkably simple, conceptually at least. The density of Z comes from the derivative of the variance.
It's a beautiful connection. It links the correlation structure via the two-point function, the variance, Grail, and this crucial random location Z altogether. And importantly, this result holds for a general class of initial conditions parameterized by Abbe.
Does this match up with other work? You mentioned TASEP earlier.
It does. For the stationary case, which corresponds to a specific value of min, this result rigorously proves relationships that were previously found or conjectured based on analyzing TASEP approximations and using physics arguments.
And this location Z, does it connect to anything else physically?
Yes. Interestingly, the distribution of Z is also known to describe the fluctuations of something called a second-class particle in models like TACEP and PNG. There's a known duality between these maximizers like Z and the behavior of these second-class particles. So the paper firms up that connection mathematically, too.
So what are the big novelties here? What makes this paper stand out?
Well, first, it's the rigorous derivation of this link between the two-point function and the variance function, or out, for essentially all the relevant initial conditions, all BISA, confirming earlier predictions.
Okay, generality is key.
Second, it makes the connection to the density of the maximizer Z explicit. And crucially, it does this using the Mellevin calculus machinery directly on the KPZ fixed point, particularly via the directed landscape formulation. It's a powerful methodological approach.
Does it say anything about extreme cases? Like very flat starts or very rough ones?
It does. The authors discuss the limits as B goes to zero, which corresponds to the flat initial condition, the Airy 1 process regime, and as B goes to infinity, where the initial Brownian motion dominates. In these limits, the distribution of Z converges to other known distributions like F0 related to Airy 1 and the Chernoff distribution, which adds further consistency checks.
The paper also mentions something about asymptotic independence, getting less correlated over time.
That's right. They didn't just look at the correlation at fixed times. They also asked, how quickly do measurements made at time to two become statistically independent from measurements made at the initial time bureau as Dick gets large?
How do you measure how independent things are?
They used a quantity called the Wasserstein distance, which measures the cost of transforming one probability distribution into another. Mm. They wanted to bound this distance between the joint distribution of measurements at time zero and time t and the product of their individual distributions, which represents full independence.
And Mellevin calculus helps here too.
Yes, combined with another technique called Stein's method. They adapted the Mellevin and Stein method to prove an upper bound on this Wasserstein distance.
And the result? Theorem 2.3, I think.
Theorem 2.3 shows that this distance, measuring the dependence, is bounded by something that again involves the expectation of a cross-correlation of the test functions evaluated at that scaled location Z.
And does it decay in a specific way?
Yes. Importantly, the bound shows that the dependence decays with time, and the space-time scaling involved follows that characteristic T to the power of 23 factor, which is a hallmark of the KPZ class.
So even the rate at which things become independent follows the universal KPZ scaling.
Exactly. And as a bonus, this work demonstrates a potentially broader applicability of combining Mellevin calculus and Stein's method for proving asymptotic independence in other complex Markov processes.
Okay, let's try to wrap this up. What are the key takeaways from this deep dive?
I think the main takeaway is the incredibly deep connection this paper rigorously establishes between several key aspects of the KPZ fixed point. Its correlation structure, the two-point function, the statistics of the location of the maximum Z in its variational definition, and the overall variance or scaling function.
And the power of these advanced mathematical tools like Mellevin calculus in actually proving these connections, which were maybe suspected or seen in specific models but not shown so generally before.
Absolutely. It solidifies our understanding and provides a unified picture linking physics-based intuition and simulations with rigorous mathematics.
We saw some surprising things like this universality itself, how different growth processes share fundamental rules, and this intricate link between slopes, variances, and where a maximum occurs in a related random landscape.
Definitely surprising and elegant when you see how it fits together.
So for you, the learner, we really hope this tour through the paper gives you that solid handle on the core ideas without having to wade through all the technical proofs yourself. It's a shortcut to the key insights.
And maybe a final thought to leave you with. Seeing how powerful these techniques are for KPZ, where else could they be applied? What other complex systems, perhaps in physics, biology, or even economics, that show universal random behavior might be unlocked using similar mathematical approaches?
That's a great question to ponder. Maybe exploring those related models like TACEP or PNG or just learning more about stochastic processes in general could be a next step.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.